أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody still awake? Really? At this two long sessions, is there enough place to like stand up and just jump around quickly and then sit down? There's a brother who started it over there. Anyways, alhamdulillah. The other guys already spoke about all my stuff, so I'm kind of at a loss of words. But inshallah, may Allah guide my words and guide all of our hearts. They kind of gave me the bad guy topic. So, yeah, I'm not a bad guy. Anyways, as you can see, the topic says, I think it says my company in the last night. I just felt like changing it, so I changed it to My Chemical Romance. What the topic is about is, you know, love, dating, infatuation, all of that kind of stuff. And the reason we chose to put this topic here is because, yeah, it's not so hard to stay away from drugs and, like, having intercourse. And that's all good, eh? But, yeah. Even alcohol, and it's not that hard to stay away from those things, clubbing and stuff, but dating's so normal, like having a girlfriend. To be honest with you, when I was your guys' age, I knew it was possible. But like, I didn't really believe it. I didn't really believe it. So, because I didn't actually see it happen ever before that, besides my parents. Yeah. Even the mic is shocked. But anyways, so yeah, whatever. Okay, so my topic is My Chemical Romance. And I think most of you, hopefully, possibly, I didn't know what it was about that time, but Islam is actually opposed to dating. Do you know that? Who didn't know that? Everybody knew that. Yo, you guys know your deen. I actually didn't know dating was haram when I was your guys' age. But anyways, I put something controversial up there, and Rizan already mentioned it. The West promotes arranged marriages. Who wants to have an arranged marriage? Are India, your daddy will get you sorted, huh? But anyways, what I'm saying is, the West promotes arranged marriages, and Islam promotes choice. Now that might sound strange, eh? If I get to choose who I date, I get to go out with them for however long I want to. That was my choice, wasn't it? But in Islam, I like have to marry the person first and then get to know them and stuff. So do I really get to choose whether I want to marry that person or not? Or whether I want to be with that person or not? But my statement still stands. The West promotes arranged marriages and Islam promotes choice. So just keep that in your mind. Right? And let's get into what Islam says. What does the Quran say about dating? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عَوْدِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ In part of the ayah, Allah says, فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ وَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مُحْصَنَاتٍ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحَاتٍ وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ. That you should marry females with the permission of their families, their guardians. وَآتُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Give them the like mahr in a good fashion and what is customary. مُحْصَنَاتٍ What should the condition of these females be? They should be chaste women. غَيْرَ مُسَافِحَاتٍ They shouldn't be lewd and illicit females. وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ You guys most people don't know that the Quran actually speaks about having girlfriends and boyfriends and stuff like that directly. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانٍ The females that you marry, they shouldn't be females that had boyfriends, or at least you should hope they should have tried not to, or have repented if they did. Right? But that's what the Quran says. I just want to get to the end of this verse, because I don't have time to get into the entire verses for all of these things, the very long verses. But at the end of this verse, Allah says something profound. Allah says, speaking about marriage and stuff like that, Allah says, وَأَن تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ that you have patience is much better for you. وَأَن تَصْبِرُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that you have patience is much better for you. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Most forgiving, most merciful. Why? Why most forgiving, most merciful? When do we need the forgiveness of Allah? When? When do you need someone's forgiveness? Any forgiveness? When you do something wrong, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He is the one that will always forgive you. Because along the way, we're very likely to falter. To fall somewhere, make an error somewhere. But you must remember Allah's forgiving. And Allah's Rahim, Allah is not placing these laws to harm you, as Mawlana Khalil mentioned. Allah puts all of these things there because He loves you. Because He knows what will benefit you. That's with regards to females. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ إِذَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, speaking about males, they should marry females that are chaste females and all that stuff, not illicit. But how should the males be? Not just that the females mustn't have boyfriends and stuff like that. Allah says here, because guys sometimes think, you know, there's the stigma that goes around society. A guy can do whatever he wants to, but when he wants to get married, he can just, you know, choose the pill, you know, what the pills sitting in their shelves or whatever. Right? But ladies, if they do something wrong, then it's, you know, there's a stigma attached to them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about males here as well, and He says that males also shouldn't have girlfriends. They also shouldn't have secret relationships and stuff like that. Right, so we can't have girlfriends and boyfriends. Big thing. Yeah, your life's going to change now. Sorry. Right? So that's Islam's concept of dating. We're going to get to what Islam proposes as the alternative to dating. But let's look at the Western concept of dating. You guys tell me. I don't know so much about dating. I didn't date. I can say it proudly now. I can say it proudly now. Alhamdulillah. But you guys tell me, what's dating about? What happens when you date? What do you do? I don't mean what you do when you're dating. I mean, how do you get to the point that you're dating? What happens? You guys at school, right? You just magically happen to be with a girl. What happens? Otherwise, I'm going to pick someone. I'm going to pick like the guy that looks like. I know that guy over there. His name is Rajab Qadir. Tell me, what happens? Huh? I saw that cap go on his head. So I knew, okay, that's a guy I must pick. What happens when you date? You don't know about dating. Okay, but generally what happens? You guys, you see a girl that you like, right? She looks pretty, maybe she's cool. You see some things you like about her and she tickles your fancy. For girls, the same thing. Hopefully she's not tickling you, but like she strikes a chord with you, you know, it's like your flavor or whatever. The same thing happens for girls. Girls see a guy that they like, that, you know, he's a hunk or whatever. Let me not use that same figure of speech there. But you see someone you like and you guys maybe start chatting, you get together and then you stay together. And sometimes you fight and then you realize, you know, I don't really like this person, but you stay together anyways and then you get married and you become old and you die. Right? And oftentimes those marriages end up in divorce because you weren't actually looking for that long-term relationship. You were looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? So just keep that in mind. The point of my topic is getting into the chemical occurrences in lust or romance or infatuation or whatever you want to call it, right? Disclaimer, this is not love. This is, love comes from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places love in your marriage. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, He created spouses for you from amongst yourselves. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that places love between you. And He is the one that places that loving mercy between you as well. Right? So let's just see what happens in infatuation. I actually got these slides from Wali Maradia. But let's see. Falling in love. The Hollywood love story. So a boy sees a girl. Man sees a lady. Whatever. The two of them meet up somehow. Maybe they just give like a, you know, eye flirting. And then there are no signals on. That's a catch. Let's do something about it. Right? The two of them eventually meet up. When they meet up, that guy got all his lines lined up. You so fine, you blow my mind. I don't know what the... whatever, right? But he has all his lines because he's been thinking about it all the time. He's on the hunt. And he doesn't go hunting without his ammunition. Right? So he goes hunting. The two of them meet. Well, he gives all the lines. The girl is like all blushing. Oh, you know, it's so cool. It makes me feel so good about myself. Yeah. Then she gets all butterflies and he's like, yes, my arrows are hitting the target. You start feeling good about yourself, giddy. You talk for hours. You know, you have intimate conversations. You chat till the wee hours of the night about nothing. Yeah. Back in the day, just mix it. You just go check. Is that person online? Yeah, they're online. Okay, you can still do it with WhatsApp. They have that last seen thing. Are the person online? Okay, then you send a message and then you chat. And you just chat. How's it? What color is your duvet tonight? My favorite color is still blue. It didn't change since yesterday, don't worry. Whatever. And you get into conversations about life, you start sharing your problems with each other, and that person becomes an integral part of your life. Until such a point that you can't imagine life without that other person. You can't think, you know what, you think to yourself, you know, imagine if I couldn't talk to that person tonight, how bad am I going to feel, like my night will be empty, and yeah, it's just not going to be the same, and I need this, I need it. Doesn't it sound like drugs? Yeah. Right, so you date for a period of time. I have friends that dated for like 8 years, and I'm not actually old, eh? I'm 24, so 8 years is a long time. That means they were 16. That means, and I'm sure many of you will be 16, they dated for a long time. And then they got married. And they lived together. I actually have one friend that got married and then, okay, I hope he's not here. He got married and then this is just for listen, if he is here, but I'm using this as a lesson. It didn't work out. In a very short period of time, things didn't work out. But he didn't date, he actually did it the right way, so that doesn't work. Anyways, so you get with this person, you're married to them, and then you find out all the other habits. Because when people date, they don't show you everything. They don't ever go to a date without brushing their teeth, number one, which is something you'll find out on the first morning of marriage. When you wake up, maybe your spouse's mouth will still be nice and fresh smelling because they got up a bit earlier than you and could go brush their teeth. But you wake up and you think that, hey, I think I need to brush my teeth, but it's a bit late now. So that person will see that side of you that they didn't see before. That side where you don't have your teeth brushed. And it's not a nice side. Eventually, sometime in your relationship, you're going to have to fart in front of the other person. That's not a nice side either. Especially if you've been eating some bad foods. They're going to see you when you're angry, when you're tense, when you're under pressure. They're going to be with you all the time. All the time. Right? When you're not at your best, when you didn't have time to prepare your lines, when you didn't have you didn't have the chance to go browse through your Shakespeare textbook to just find there your Wherefore Art Thou Romeo, or was it Juliet? Wherefore Art Thou? I can't remember. I read it back in the day. But anyways, they can see the other side of you, a side that they don't see when you're dating, right? And the reality is, they might not like that side. That side might involve bad habits that you can't kick. That side might involve drugs that you never came to know about. That side might involve bad relationships with your family that you can't stand. But now you're kind of like caught in something. You don't have a way out. You don't have a choice anymore. You're in it already. You've been with this person for too long. You can't imagine any other way. And the reason that things go this way is substantiated by the chemicals, occurrences that happen in our body when these kind of things happen. Now, before I mention this, last night, I actually went to go check a whole array of scientific journals. Alhamdulillah, I'm still, like, I can still get into UCT's libraries and stuff like that. So I went to check an entire array of scientific journals to substantiate these things, the effects of these hormones that come to the fore in our body when involved in intimacy. So I was reading an article last night about someone or some doctor that classifies our relationships, our social interactions with people into three parts. The first stage is lust. Not love, it's just lust. When you think it's love at first sight, it's not love at first sight. It's lust. You just smack that person. Right? So you see the person and something about them likes you. It just gets you off, right? Then testosterone gets produced in your body. For males, testosterone. For females, estrogen. And, you know, those chemicals come to the fore. I don't want to speak too much about them. Then attraction happens. After you just fall in lust with the person, you start speaking to the person, whatever, and then attraction happens. You become attracted to the person, to the nice qualities that person shows you. And when attraction happens, you get adrenaline pumping through your body. What's adrenaline? Where have you guys heard about adrenaline from? Where? Skydiving, hiking, doing any extreme thing, right? You get adrenaline. What does adrenaline do? Makes you pump. Isn't it? You want, like when you want to go to gym, you do certain stuff to get your adrenaline pumping so that you can be on peak performance, isn't it? So imagine that. Just for lack of a better way of saying it, you're on the chase, right? So your adrenaline is pumping. Your adrenaline is pumping. Your heart races, you become sweaty, you feel nervous and anxious, but all of that's there so that your game can be on form, right? Then dopamine gets produced in your body. This chemical called dopamine. You know when you get dopamine? When dopamine is produced in your body? When you take drugs. Yeah. You're on drugs. So just think about it. Remember when I said earlier, you feel like, I need this. I need it. How can I do without it? Even if I chat to that person and say nothing, I'm still going to chat to them. Right? That's because your body is producing hormones that make you addicted to things. So dopamine gets produced in your body. You have increased energy, less need for sleep or food, focus, attention. Yeah, that's why you can stay up till 1 o'clock and then still get up in the morning at 8 o'clock for school. 1 o'clock is 1 o'clock too early. You go sleep Fajr time. And then you get up I remember that back in the day, they also call it the mix it all-nighters. Let's have an all-nighter. And then everyone's like, yeah, let's have an all-nighter. And then you think why afterwards. But anyways, you have the levels of serotonin in your body change, and that's equivalent to becoming OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Right? Then, when things become intimate, when you start talking about intimate things, about deep things, guys, if you want to get a girl, just talk to her about deep stuff. I'm not telling that to you so that you can do it. I'm telling it to the girls so that you know when the guys talk to you about deep stuff, just be wary. Right? And guys, don't do it. I'm not encouraging you to bed. I'm encouraging you not to do it. But yeah, when you start talking about deep stuff and things become intimate, whether you're touching the person or you're not touching the person, you're just creating very intimate feelings in the person, this thing called oxytocin gets released. Oxytocin was first known as the hormone that is released when mothers breastfeed their children and when they give birth. And it creates a bond between the mother and the baby. So what kind of bond gets formed between a mother and a baby? You tell me. What will a mother do for the child when the child is just born? That mother will protect that child with her own life. She's so attached to that child. Child babies look ugly. Like newborn babies look ugly. They look like rats sometimes. But like, but mothers are still like, oh so cute. Sometimes I'll never tell it to the mother, but I mean, you see the baby and like, that thing's not cute. But the mother is still so attached to the baby. A mother is still so attached to the baby. The mother will do anything for the baby. And imagine that when you're talking about that deep stuff, that same hormone gets released that attaches a mother to a baby. And it now attaches you to this person that you're having these intimate conversations with. You become attached to the person. Generally, males become more addicted to the action, right? Guys get addicted to the choice, for lack of a better word. And ladies get more attached to the person. Ladies get more like emotionally invested in the person. So can you see the danger of that? Can you see how it clouds your judgment? In fact, I was reading a study last night that likens this love hormone, oxytocin, to alcohol. It impairs your thinking. You are willing to overlook so much to get whatever you want. And I actually still, I kept a list of journals that I read last night. So if anyone wants references, I have the references on my PC. So you can get them if you don't believe me. But just think about that for a moment. You become addicted and attached to a person. So whether you just got with this person for a fling, because you liked the choice, because you felt good in the time and they looked good, you become addicted to the person, and you guys especially become addicted to the action, but girls become addicted to the person, attached to the person. If after a week or after a month you find out the worst things about this person, and you're forced to stay away from this person, you still feel sad, you still feel bad, and you'll do anything to get back. You'll do anything to get back. It's like a drag. You'll do anything to get your fix. And that's sad, because you don't have a choice anymore. When you think to yourself, the day you got married, I chose this person so lovingly. The reality is, you didn't choose that person very lovingly. You chose that person because you were horny. And now, you are stuck with the decision you made when you are under the influence of your hormones. Yeah. And that's not good for you. Because you can't get out of it anymore. And the funny thing is, neither do you want to get out of it even though it might harm you. You don't want to get out of it even though it might harm you. Because it makes you feel good. On the other hand, what does Islam say? Boy or girl hears about each other. I have a young sister. I know some good guys. So I tell her, Mariam, I know this good guy. He's quite cool. Obviously it's my sister. I'm not going to look for an ugly guy for her. He's handsome. He fits a whole list of criteria, and he's quite good. So I think, you know, maybe it'll be nice for you guys to meet each other and check it out. Right? So you hear about this person. You find out more about this person. You get to know about the person. Is it a good person? Do they have any dark secrets, any bad habits, anything that I don't want in my life? Right? The two of them meet each other. They discuss things with each other under supervision so that their judgment, their clouded judgment, because when they meet each other, the hormones still might flare, so that the cognitive abilities aren't impaired. They can think straight. They get to assess each other. You actually get to check, does this guy fit my bill? Is he my Wonder Man or whatever? Right? And guys, you get to assess the thing, is this girl going to be the person that I really want to live with and that I want to be my wife? And so it sounds a little bit robotic. But at the end of the day, you won't be sorry. Right? So the two meet each other, they converse, they discuss things, they find out more about each other. They can find out about these people from other people. And she's a shy girl. She's very shy. But even on our wedding day, she was so calm. And it's like weird because she's shy. And it's the first time she's talking to me, the first time she's with me, the first time we're together. But it was so calm. It was like it wasn't normal. But exactly that, it wasn't normal. Because when you do things the right way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts something there. Allah puts that giddy feeling there. Allah is the one that makes that comfort be there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that makes you have the mentality that I'm going to make this work. And so you start out with a little bit of love that you had on the day that you got married, and you keep on building and building and building and building, and you become more in love and more in love as you go along. Because I didn't start off with a fake picture of you. I started off with you. The very day we got married, the very next morning, I woke up, and I think she brushed her teeth before me. But my teeth wasn't brushed. And she didn't have an expectation of me to wake up with a brushed mouth. She didn't only experience me perfumed. She knew that there was something else. Because she was thinking with her brain, not with the hormones. Right? So she had a choice. I had a choice. And alhamdulillah, Allah made it work. And if it didn't work at the end of the day, we could have just decided, well, you're not the one. You don't fit my bill. No odd feelings. I don't really know you. And it's a break up and try the next one. I'm not attached to you. So it didn't work like that. I see Rushan is here. But it didn't work out like it. Alhamdulillah. And it's beautiful. Till this very day, I can be my lazy self. And that's all she knows of me. So she's happy with me like that. And yeah. You see, she had a choice. And that's what Islam promotes. Though Islam tells you to get married first, Islam allows you to choose who you want to get married to. And choose rationally with your brain, not with your hormones, not under the influence. The Western culture, the culture of dating, it lets you choose at the beginning, but then you get attached to the person, you become addicted. And the day you choose to marry that person, you're not thinking with your brain. You are not thinking with your brain. At all. You're not thinking with your brain. So I'm telling you that Islam allows you to think with your brain. Islam allows you to choose. To really be who you think is going to please Allah. And you're allowed to fashion your life in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places barakah in everything you do. Right? So, yeah. My advice to you is, and this is very good reason we're speaking about this, because it's a hard thing. My advice to you is, don't date. Don't date. And if you are dating, get out of it. That's why I started with those ayat of the Quran. Because at the very least, right, we must know that dating is haram. If I'm in such a relationship, or if I'm planning to get into a relationship like that, now is the time that I don't do it. Now, the first reason that I don't do it is because Allah told me that it's wrong and I want to please Allah. And the second reason is that it's not good for me. And I've just shown you chemically why it's not good for you. Right? So firstly, because Allah doesn't want it from me. And thirdly, secondly, because it's not good for me. Because it's not good for me. And then I go back to the beginning or the ending of that ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that He's Ghafurur Rahim. He's most forgiving and most merciful. If you are in such a thing, turn back to Allah. Break up now. Type out your message now. Break up. Just do it. No, I'm not joking. You know, that's all that it takes. All that you have to do is you just break up now. Don't think about the consequences. Don't let your hormones kick in. Just switch your brain off. Just switch your hormones off and just break up. Right? And think about the consequences later. But the consequences will be good, I promise you. Right? Allah will forgive the past and Allah will make your life better. He'll show you that loving mercy. And I end off with a quote. I know this is a hard thing. I know it's something that's hard to get out of. I know it's something that you're going to fall along the way. It doesn't matter how deep you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just expects you to turn to Him. Allah will make the way easy for you. I end off with the saying of Imam Shafi'i rahmahu ta'ala. Or it was either of him or his student, Rabi'ah. He says, Siru ila Allahi arajan wa makasir. Travel to Allah. Travel to Allah, limping and broken. Subhanallah. None of us are perfect. He says, travel to Allah, limping and broken, with all your faults. With all your faults. With all the hiccups that you know are going to come along the way, it doesn't matter. With all the bad things you do, with all the good things you don't do, it doesn't matter. Siru ila Allahi arajan wa makasir. Travel to Allah, limping and broken. فَإِنَّ انْتِظَارُكَ الصِّحَّةَ بِطَالَ. Because you're waiting for the time that you are perfect and you are pious and all of that stuff. That's a waste of time. It's never going to come. Allah wants you to come to Him limping and broken. Come to Allah. Come to Allah. And the first way that we can come to Allah is to remove the bad things in our life. So let's try that. Let's decide at this very moment. Just take a quiet moment. Don't listen to me what I'm saying this evening. Just think to yourself, oh Allah, with all the weaknesses that I have, with all the faults that I have, oh Allah, I'm turning to you right now. I'm turning to you and I'm coming to you limping and I'm coming to you broken, oh Allah. You fix me. You fix me. And I promise you, Allah will make the way easy for you. Allah will make the way easy for you. Right? And just lastly, I want to just commend you on this. Subhanallah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see so much youth here. And I'm sure you didn't just come for the jive and the debonairs. The guys might have come because they knew there were going to be lots of girls, but you knew there was going to be something Islamic here. You knew there was going to be something about Allah here. And you still came to listen. And I promise you, if that was your intention, Allah is going to look at you with mercy. Allah is going to look at you with mercy. So once, after you've taken this step, take the next step. I promise you, Allah will come running to you. Allah will come running to you. Allah will come running to you. So with that, I end. Wa jazakumullahu khair. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.